Takvar bhakti vinod ki jai. Yagayatam name shena chakshusha pravashayatam. Shunyayatam jagatsavam govinda virahiname. This is the Satama Yama Sadhana chapter, Vipralamba. Vipralamba Ba, Vipralamba Bhajan. And this is Pradosh Leela of the Lord. It says Pradosh Kal. We've been discussing the meaning of the different words of this verse before we enter into the actual verses of the chapter. And I thought we finished the discussion of the different words, Govinda Virahiname, we discussed yesterday. And this level of bhakti, level of prema, love and separation, Vipralamba. What is this Vipralamba? So prema is defined as extremely concentrated love for Krishna, which softens the heart and gives rise to a deep sense of mamata, mindness or possessiveness towards Krishna and his associates. So these are two characteristics of Krishna's love, divine love. Krishna prema has two characteristics. It softens the heart. The heart becomes very softened, and one develops an intense attitude or mentality of possessiveness. Lord is mine, or this is my Rupa Goswami, Mora Swarup. Like, where is my Swarup Damodar? That song is there, right? Where is my Swarup Damodar? Where is my Krishnas Kaviraj? There's only one Krishnas Kaviraj. But the Vaishnava, who is Taratmika, who is actually lined up with the bhav and seva and mood and teachings of a particular parishad of the Lord, like Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, Kasturi Manjari. And then he genuinely feels in his heart, at least at the level of bhava, he will feel in his heart that this devotee, this Krishnas Kaviraj is mine. Right, Sri Rupa Manjari Pad, we say, right, Mora Prananath. This song everyone's singing, all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Rupa Nuga Vaishnavas, they're singing this song, Sri Rupa Manjari Pad. What is the song saying? It's saying everything more, the word more, M-R. More means mine. Rupa Goswami, you are my wealth, you are my treasure, you are my bhajan, you are mine. This is mamata. So everyone, thousands and thousands of Vaishnavas are singing Sri Rupa Manjari Pad. Mora Pran, Mora Dharma, Mora Karma. You're my activities, you're the goal of my sadhana, you're the goal of my bhajan. You're my life force, you're my energy, you're my everything. So thousands are claiming one to be theirs. You are mine. No, he's mine. It's like there's one lady and 1,000 men say that she's mine. Well, that's a little difficult. One lady can be divided into 1,000 pieces. But this is the mood of mamta, that we feel this, where is my Krishna's Kaviraj? Or people sometimes write books, my Prabhupada. My Prabhupada. And devotees and godbrothers even say like that. Even you see sometimes in a family situation, in this world, there are some brothers and sisters, and one brother is talking to the other brother. He says, well, my father said. So even in our circle, even in this world, we have this idea of my this. So this is, of course, this can't be imitated or artificially projected. But it is a symptom. Symptom means you have this thing, then these are the symptoms. Just like if you have a disease, you have the disease. You don't have to imitate the symptoms. If you have the disease, then certain symptoms come. If you have a flu, then you have sore throat and a fever and you feel weakness in your muscles and your head hurts. And so you don't imitate the symptoms and then try to pretend to have a cold. The symptoms automatically come. So when one attains bhavan, the symptoms automatically come. The heart becomes very softened. And one feels, he really feels, mamta, my Radharani. Hamaradana Radha Shiradha Shiradha Pranadana, Radha, Hamaradana. What does Hamaradana mean? My wealth. Hamara. My wealth. Radha is my wealth. Meri Pyari. Like this song we're hearing, right? Say Meri Pyari. He says, Radharani is, Pyari means the lover. Radharani is the lover of Krishna. But this Gaurav Shastri sings this song, Barsani Wali. Radha Kundame, this famous song all around the Braj Mandal. Varsanawali, Radhe, Radhe, Varsanawali, Radhe. You know. So there he's saying, Mere Pyari. He says, my lover, my beloved is Radharani. He says, Mere Pyari, Mere. He says, my everything is Radha, my Pyari is Radha. So this is the mood of this Bhav. This is Bhav. This is love. This is genuine expression of intense attachment, connection, where one is so absorbed in the beloved that there's no room for anyone else. There's no room. I can't see anyone else. I see me. I see my beloved. My beloved is mine. It's my mother. I don't know. Your mother? Who's your mother? You figure out. She's all I know is she's my mother, 100%. Acha, you also came from her womb. You came from her womb also, and you say you're my brother, and she's also your mother. You think like that. Anyway, she's my mother. So she's my Radha, and my Giriraj. Well, you know, my Guru Maharaj said I should worship Giriraj as a devotee, Haridas Varya. So I worship my Giriraj as Haridas Varya. I say, man, very good. All power to you. But my Giriraj I worship is Giridhari Krishna. You know, so this is like your bhav, your viewpoint, how you understand and how you receive. Of course, puja goes through the blessings and heart of the command of Guru, but everyone says like this. So this happens at level of bhav, that we have a sense of possessiveness, not only towards Krishna, but towards his associates. These are two aspects of prema. This is actually prema, which begins in bhava also. Bhava is only the precursor of prema. Then another thing, because this what we're discussing in this verse is not bhava anymore. This verse, Yugayutam, is prema. There's two verses about prema in the Shikshastakam. And this Nayanam Galardashir Darya, this is bhava bhakti. And that's bhava bhajan. Now this is prema bhajan, or this is the premi bhakti's bhajan. The premi bhakti's viewpoint. The premi bhakti's feelings. The premi bhakti's relationship. And the premi bhakti's outlook towards the Lord. Yugayutam Nameshina. This can only be experienced at the level of prema, truly speaking. So now prema has its two divisions, as I mentioned in the first class, the two banks that our Gaura Govinda Maharaj explained. One bank is called the Sambhog Milan Tata, and the Viraha Tata. Bank, embankment of separation, Viraha, and embankment of meeting, Milan, Sambhog. So this verse, this is all about Vipralamba, prem. Then there's Sambhog, prem, love and separation. So firstly, let's understand something about prema, Krishna prema. If you have anyone who avoids these 10 offenses, he can quickly advance in the path of devotional service and attain the desired result, which is Krishna prema. This is what they say in ISKCON every day. Anyone who carefully avoids these 10 offenses can quickly progress on the path of devotional service and attain a desired result. Desired result is the sadhya, the goal of our devotion, our prayojan, is prem prayojan, the necessity. So this is our destination, this is our aspiration, this is our culmination of our endeavor, of our bhajan, of our sadhana bhakti. So this prem has these characteristics. So then there's prema as a category, and then there's two expressions of prema. Prema and separation, prema and union. But either way, it has these characteristics. Prema softens the heart. Prema creates a sense of mamata. And the third thing is, that's very unique about Krishna prema, unlike the so-called love of this world, is that Krishna prema, which is rather unusual, even if a cause arises that could break the relationship between the two lovers, their bond of love remains completely unaffected. So this separates prema from kama or from love of this world. Divine love has this special, unique characteristic. No matter what you do to me, I'll never stop loving you. I'll never leave you. I'll never give you up. I'll never stop serving you. I'll never diminish my submission and attitude of service towards you. No matter what you do to me, you neglect me, you kill me, you destroy me, you trample me, whatever you do, it doesn't matter. You stay away from me for light years, for 12 years or more. For 12 years, 50 years, Mahaprabhu's wandering in separation for 50 years, crying. Because Krishna made Radharani cry for 50 years. Radharani cried for 50 years from the time Krishna left Vrindavan till she met him at Kurukshetra, right? So there was some brief pause in her crying, and she cried for another 50 years until he came back. As he came back after he killed Dantavakra, that was 50 years later. So that's why it says, it's actually told that there's some pastime that Radha and Krishna will be separated for 100 years. So the actual time that Krishna left Vrindavan was about 100 years. But for 50 years, 48 years, 50 years, Radharani's crying in separation. So whatever you do to somebody else, it'll come back to you. Right? So then Krishna had to come as Mahaprabhu and cry for 48 years, 50 years. He cried in separation. Krishna, Krishna, where is my Krishna? Where is my Krishna? And Radharani cried for 50 years, where is my Krishna? Where is my Krishna? So Krishna made Radharani cry, so then Radharani made Krishna cry. Lord Chaitanya is crying and experiencing. In other words, Krishna experienced what Radharani experienced for 50 years. Radharani was crying for Krishna for 50 years and how she felt, how much pain of Vipralamba, how much suffering. So now Krishna came as Radharani's Bhav, Radhakanti, Radhabhav. And then he cried for 50 years. Krishna cried for 50 years to understand how much what she felt. So now, no matter how much she cried and how much she felt pain and separation, she never gave up her love for Krishna. She never diminished her love. Even sometimes the gopis would talk among themselves. Radharani would say, stop talking about this Krishna. Let's change the subject and talk about something else. The gopis would say, all right, yes, let's talk about something else. Then they would, about a second later, they would say, but there isn't anything else. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. There's no one else to talk about except Krishna. So then within 1 second, they would stop for 1 second, and again they would become submerged in Krishna Katha, in the river of Hari Katha. They could not avoid it, even though they wanted to. Let's stop talking about this person. It's ruining us. We're just getting nowhere. He's not coming back. We're not meeting him. We're just becoming deeper and deeper in pain talking about him. This is the cause of our suffering. We're talking about him, therefore remembering him. And when we remember him, we miss him. When we miss him, we start crying more and more. So the solution to all of this pain of separation and vira is to stop talking about him. So let's stop. Yes, Radharani, that's a good idea. Let's stop. Oh, Radharani, remember that day by the banks of the Yamuna when you and Krishna planted a small tamal tree? You know, that tamal tree now has grown into a big tree. We should send Krishna a message. Oh, Krishna, don't you want to take care of that tamal tree that you planted by the banks of the Yamuna one day? Remember? That tree has now grown into a beautiful tree, and there's so many birds coming there. Oh, hey, I thought we weren't going to talk about Krishna. What is this? Hey, Chup, be quiet. So although they tried to restrain themselves or keep themselves from speaking about Krishna, because that was the very cause of their burning in the fire. You're inside a fire and someone says, you're burning, get out of the fire. Oh yeah, that's a good idea. So then they take you out of the fire. You say, wow, that's nice. And then you say, no, but I want to burn. You jump back in the fire and start burning again. So the topics about Krishna were burning them in the fire of separation, Vira Agni. But they couldn't stop. They couldn't stop burning, they couldn't stop talking. This is Krishna. No one can never stop his. So this is prema. No matter how much cause there may be for separation, how much cause there may be to break the relationship or to go a different direction, The lover will never, under any condition, ever go in a different direction or ever break the relationship. They are eternally cemented together, inseparable, eternally inseparable. This is the epitome of love divine, relationship between Krishna and Radharani. So one acharya was saying, very interesting play on words, don't be minus minus. English is something in mathematics called plus and minus. This is plus sign and minus sign. 5 minus 2 equals 3. So minus means less than, and minus means possession. My, my-ness, the tendency to possess. So don't be minus my-ness, which means, it's a fancy way of saying, don't be without, don't neglect developing the quality of possessiveness. Don't neglect developing the quality of mamata for Krishna or his associates. Don't be without this feeling of my-ness, my Krishna, my Vrindavan. Because everyone has a very personal arrangement in Vrindavan to serve their very personal Lord. Because even there, sometimes devotees ask a question. How is it there's millions and millions of sakis, and all the time millions and millions of mantris coming and adding on to the list over there, new recruits. So doesn't Radharani get a little busy? Doesn't she get too busy with all these mantris? So she won't have time to meet me or accept my service. As I see here in this world, my guru has 9,000 disciples, and I can never get to meet him or never get to see him, and it's very difficult. So won't it be like that in the spiritual world, that Radharani will have so many maidservants that I'll be number 2,497,000, and I'll have to take a long time before my number comes up, before I get the chance to do some seva? How will it be adjusted? There's only one Krishna, only one Radharani, and millions of maidservants and sakis. So when this question is asked, then the Mahajans, they say, actually, everything is localized. There's no Aishvarya there. Everything is localized, everything is personalized, everything is most intimate, everything is most confidential, and everything is to everyone's liking. We will have Krishna and Radharani exactly how we like to have them. And it's so much individualized that everyone will have their own seva kunj. You know, seva kunj, a place of seva, a designated place of seva. And even that will be your private kunj. And you'll have your own Radharani and your own Krishna and your own Lalita Sakhi and your own everything. And there'll be so many groups, and you won't notice the other ones. Other parivars, because you have to imagine all the parivars. There's so many different parivars and so many different lineages, all going to Radha and Krishna, all going to Mantri Bhav. And it's going to be a huge traffic jam up there. We don't know whether this week it's Gadadhar Parivar serving Radharani. Next week it's Nityananda Parivar. Next week it's Shamananda Parivar. And next week it's Advaita Parivar. And then 4 weeks from now is Narottam Parivar. And then so it's going to be a lot of vacation time up there before we get a chance to serve. It won't be like that. Everything will be adjusted perfectly. By Yoga Maya, there will be so many compartments and so many parakashtas and so many Radharanis. It's all actually inconceivable and unlimited. It's not tangible, intimate. You have your line of few gurus and your sakhi paramparas and associates. Be with Lalita, Vishaka, the Yukteswaris, and Rupamantri, and Lalita, and Radharani and Krishna, then whatever else is going on with so many other parivars and so many other lines, you won't see it. You won't see it. You won't know about it. You won't worry about it. Here everybody's worried about all different lines. Everyone's worried, oh, you're on Gadadhar Parivar. Oh, I'm in another parivar. You're in no parivar. I'm in no parivar. Achha, that's an interesting one. No parivar. And you're in Narottam Parivara, Shamananda Parivara, or Chaitanya Saraswat Parivara. We have our own Parivara, Bhaktinoda Parivara, whatever. And then I saw everyone's fights and this way, that way, and my parivar is better than your parivar. All kinds of interesting ideas. But up there, everything is adjusted in a very harmonious and integrated way. Because the center is one. The pleasure of Radha is only, there's only one way to please Radha and Krishna. So there's no political parties there, as we know it here. There's Sakigan. There are different groups of Sakis with no political parties. Don't be minus. Presently, we have very strong feelings of possessiveness for our relatives, husbands, wives, mothers, friends. My friends, my country, my husband, my guru. When prema appears, the devotee feels this mamata very strongly towards Krishna's associates. As the prema thickens, the devotee feels more and more ecstasy in this mood of Krishna mamata. In this verse, Yugayatam Nameshena, spoken by Radha, she's revealing the intensity of her feelings in Mahabhav, which is the highest stage of prema. So Krishna prema appears at the level of Krishna prema. There's actually seven different stages, and each one is more intense than the other. There's sneha, pranaya, aman, rag, anurag, bhav, and mahabhav. Viparlamba, which is being discussed here in Yugayata Nameshina, or love and separation, appears at the level of anurag. So the real Viparlamba prema is an expression of anurag. It begins at anurag, Viparlamba. So Rupa Goswami defined, what is anurag? Despite regularly meeting and being well acquainted with the beloved, an ever-fresh sentiment causes the beloved to be newly experienced at every moment, as if one had never met before. The attachment and love is such that it inspires such a wonderful feeling called anurag. There's so many pastimes describing this that sometimes in the afternoon, in the summertime, Krishna, the gopis are in Radhakund, and then Krishna's with the cowherd boys in Gwalpakor or anywhere, Govardhan. And sometimes Radha and Krishna, if it's rainy season or whatever, they may spend the afternoon in Govardhan, in some cave. Anywhere, here, there, anywhere in Govardhan. And then afterwards, Krishna goes back to the cowherd boys, and Radharani goes back to the gopis. And then they move to their homes in Barsana. And they see Krishna coming down the road with the cows. And then Radharani remarks to Krishna, who is this boy walking with the cows? He looks so beautiful. Have you ever seen him before? And Lita Sakhi says, what are you talking about? I said, no, really, I've never seen the way he's walking and side to side. He looks so, you know, carefree and so confident. And he's like a king or like a intoxicated elephant. He's just swaying from side to side and glancing here and there with no apparent concern for the time. And he's not in any hurry. He's simply gazing here and there as if he's searching and looking for something, searching for something. But he has a very open look and carefree look on his face. Who is this boy? And Vishakha says, what are you talking about? You just spent 3-4 hours with this boy in a cave in Govardhan and enjoying the most intimate pastimes of love. Why you say you don't recognize this person? You don't know his identity? Is he from another coward village? Have you ever seen him before? I've never seen anyone walk like this before. How is he dressed? Look at the way his hair, and he has one karnikara flower over one ear. And then he's glancing this way, like his eyes are moving like a wagtail bird. And Lita Sakhi says, really, Sakhi, what is wrong with you? Can't you understand? This is Shamsundar. This is Madhav. You were just all afternoon with him. And Radharani said, no, 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 this is not that boy. This is not Shyamasundara. This is some other boy. Why don't you find out? Go find out his name. He seems like he must be related. Some friend of Krishna's looking so much like him. But he's not. I feel something different. So these pastimes illustrate this quality of anurag. This sneha man, or sneha pranaya man, or sometimes it's sneha man pranaya. Rag anurag. Such a high level. So this is the freshness and newness that's experienced. So the madhura rasa or madhurya bhava, conjugal love, shared between Radha and Krishna is known as Shringar Ras. Shringar Ras has two divisions, Viparlamba and Sambhog, separation and union. Viparlamba or Viraha, which appears in the stage of Anurag, is defined as the delightful emotion that manifests when the hero and heroine can't fulfill their cherished longing for pastimes of union, like embracing and kissing. So in other words, they're separated, so they can't meet. This viparlamba can occur either in meeting or in separation. So sometimes this happens. They're with each other and they feel separation. That's there. Viparlamba especially acts to nourish the mood of sambhog or enjoying together, pastimes of union. Although one may think it is painful to be separated from one's beloved, in the transcendental realm, the experience of Viparlamba Ras fills the heart with unlimited bliss, even though it externally appears like Radha and Krishna are suffering in separation from each other. This reminds me of a very interesting interview that was conducted by one reporter with Srila Prabhupada. It was in 1967 in San Francisco by an underground hippie newspaper called the East. No, maybe that wasn't. It was in Greenwich Village in New York. It's by an underground hippie newspaper called the East Village Other. East Village Other. And actually, I have read that paper. I'm so old. But that paper was around in college in 1969 when I was in college, called the East Village Other. And it was kind of an upbeat paper. They had some interesting articles about the happenings of the time and some New Age poetry and whatnot. So they interviewed Prabhupada, and they had his picture in the paper, and Prabhupada had a very sober, serious, and almost like forlorn look on his face. He looked as if he had lost, he looked sad. And so the newspaper reporter, when he saw Prabhupada before him like that, and his picture is depicted like that in the pages of the newspaper, he said, "Swamiji, it appears you look very sad." And then in reply to that, he said, "You may see externally that the spiritual master looks very sad, but internally he's relishing transcendental bliss." So this is the perplexity and paradox of saintly persons. It's very difficult to know the mind of a sthita dhimuni or a dhira person. And externally, Prabhupada was looking what the reporter considered to be a very sad look on his face, forlorn, unhappy. And Prabhupada said, "No, you're not understanding correctly. Actually, I'm relishing the greatest bliss." So this viparlamba, it may appear to be separation, but actually the nayak and the nayaka, the hero and the heroine, Radha and Krishna, they're experiencing the greatest bliss, even in separation. And it has this particular function to elevate that extraordinary bliss of actually meeting. At the level of anurag, viparlamba manifests as the desire to take birth among other species, like deer or lifeless objects. You see that in Hamsadutta or another places where the gopis are saying, "Why weren't we born as fish?" And the gopis are saying to one another, "Oh, Radharani, why were we born as braja gopis? This is a great problem for us. Because we have eyelids, and our eyelids blink, and they prevent us from seeing Krishna for the nimesha." Nimesha means the blink of an eye. So That blink of an eye is so unbearable to us, it feels like a million years that we can't see Krishna. So this is a great calamity for us to have appeared in a human body who is deficient and limited by having eyelids that are always going like this, blinking. Gopis were feeling that better we become a fish in the Yamuna. If we are born as fish, aquatics, then we wouldn't have to worry about eyelids, because fish don't have any eyelids. Their eyes are always open. 24 hours a day, they don't close their eyes and go to sleep. So if we were fish, then it's better, Radharani, we should have been swimming in the Yamuna. Then we could just swim along the side and look at Krishna while he's walking along the bank of the Yamuna. We never blink our eyes and never stop seeing Krishna for a moment. Or sometimes, like in 10th canto, they say, look at these lucky deer. These deer are following behind Krishna. And he's playing his flute. And they're relishing the music with their upraised ears. And they don't find any disturbance from their husbands. Their husbands are not obstructing them. They're all running to Krishna. In fact, their husbands are running along behind them. Because they're also attracted. But the husbands of the deer, they're not envious of their wives. They're not prohibiting them from running to Krishna. They're going right along with them. Oh, Sakhi, we would have been much better off if we were born as deer. Then even our husbands would support us and help us run to Krishna. We should have been born as deer. So this kind of viewpoint of projecting your feelings or love onto other animals and even desiring to exchange places with them and become another animal, this is a sign of anurag or vipralamba at anurag, intense attachment, where you... Even lifeless objects. It says, like, desire to take birth in other species or lifeless objects that are connected to Krishna. For example, Radharani, she desired to take birth as a piece of bamboo. Everyone knows bamboo is like kind of like a little tree. Make the flute from Bansuri. Bansuri Sham. Radhika desired to take birth amongst the bamboo reeds, because then the Palinda women would come and cut down those bamboo trees, and they would fashion them into beautiful flutes, into vamshis or murali, and then they would sell those flutes to Krishna, or give them to Krishna. Then Krishna would take those flutes and play them, and press those flutes to his beautiful ruby red lips or like black cherries, they say. Not cherry, but black cherry. There's cherry and black cherry. The Krishna's lips are like black cherry. They're not bright, they're red, but not bright red, kind of maroon, darker red. A little more subtle, not so much like lipstick. They're not like lipstick red or something, but they're black, they're rich, rich and royal black cherry red and glossy. Natural gloss, no lipstick. You get like shiny lipstick, right? Well, Krishna's lips are like that. They look very attractive, and they glisten, and they're full, and they emanate a fragrance, and they entice the gopis to want to kiss his lips. So when Radharani is seeing how fortunate the flute is always stuck on Krishna's side. And if you love someone, then you always want to be stuck on their side. You always want to be touching them or embracing them, holding their hand. So the flute is either tucked in Krishna's waist, is tucked inside his dhoti, close, near, very tightly connected with Krishna. And if it's not tucked inside his dhoti, then it's pressed to his lips, his black cherry ruby lips, ruby red lips. So Radharani sometimes in the madness of Vipralamba, she says, oh, this is terrible. Why was I born as a Braj Gopi? As a gopika, as Vrishabhanu Nandini. This is a terrible, lousy birth. Human birth is terrible. Why do they say this is human birth is crown of creation? What is the advantage? What is the promotion? What edge does it give me? Better I should be born by the banks of the river as a bamboo rod, as a bamboo tree. Then, what fortune I could have. All day long, Krishna is toot, 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 chumbitam. Bimba chumbitam, right? He's saying chumbitam. Kissing One Mother Yashoda is kissing the cheeks of Har Gopal. So I could drink the nectar of Krishna's lips. Anurag causes Radharani to see Krishna everywhere, as if he were directly standing before her, even though they are in separation. When Anurag becomes filled with astonishment, it reaches a special state of intensity, wherein it manifests a state of complete madness, unmad. Then Anurag becomes Bhav. Anurag, Bhav, Mahabhav. Mahabhav is the ultimate limit of all bhavas, divine mellows or sentiments. Mahabhav is the highest stage of divine love. It's only relished by the Braja Gopis, especially headed by Srimati Radhika. So this is the idea that it's called Mahabhav because it's Maha. Like we have Prasad and Mahaprasad. So Mahabhav means great Bhav, the greatest expression of love, the greatest expression of intimacy and sweetness in relation to Krishna. So we'll talk some more tomorrow about the different types of Mahabhav, and then we'll cite verses that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives in this seventh chapter to describe these levels of prema called Mahabhav. It's kind of like a review of Ujjwala Nilamani, or just something, a background. The whole discussion of this chapter is about prema. And this particular prema is called Vipralamba. And Vipralamba means Mahabhav. So what is Mahabhav? And how much we can try to hear some review of these concepts and principles and have some foundational understanding of the concept of Mahabhav and Vipralamba. So then when we enter the discussion of the chapter, we can hopefully derive some deeper understanding of this exalted state of love and separation, and then transfer that understanding into some impressions in our own heart, and to help these understandings and impressions increase our own nam bhajan and meditation on Radha and Krishna. That's the idea. This is really an experience in Shravana Dasha. Listening. What can we say? Mahabhav. Mahabhav Sarupini Radharani Ki Jai. We're here as practitioners on the banks of Shamakund. But someday in some life, we'll be on the banks of Shamakund, not as practitioners, but as rasikas, relishers of these bhavas. These will be the content of our bhajan. We'll be experiencing different bhavas during our sadhana bhajan, during our meditation, during our smaran. Same place, same subjects, but different adhikar and different body. It's only time separating us. As Prabhupada said about his construction of 108 mandirs, when he sat on a park bench in New York in Tompkins Square Park, and the man said, Swamiji, you came here on some mission to New York? You came from India? Yes, I came from India. He said, yes, I have a mission, a worldwide mission. He said, do you have any centers? Yes, he said, I have 108 temples around the world. And the reason Prabhupada said this, because in 1956, Prabhupada went to Hoshayapur in Punjab, which is Brigu Dham. Like this is Braja Dham, that's Brigu Dham. There's like hundreds of people reading Brigu Samhitas there. It's called Brigu Dham. And Brigu Muni went there, and they have a big utsav there every year. And Balaram's birthday is also around the birthday of Brigu. And all kinds of big festivals there for 1 week in Brigu Dham. Prabhupada went there, and he met with Mr. Anand or someone, this person. And then he had his Brigu done. Prabhupada mentioned that also in 1971 in a lecture in New York about Brigu Samhita. So he himself had it done. At that time, the man predicted, he said, Swamiji, I don't know if he was sannyasi then or not. Maybe not. He says, it was 56. He said, Prabhuji or Abhay or Charan, whatever. In the future, you will be sannyasi, and you will open 108 temples around the world. So that was predicted for Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada knew that prediction. And knowing that prediction, when he was very confident about it and had his own realizations about it, I suppose. So when he was in New York years later, and the man asked him, he said, yes, I will open 108 temples. And then the man said, well, when is that? Prabhupada said, it's only time separating us. It's only time separating me. So in 70 and 66, he didn't have. But in 77, he did have. So it's only time separating us from the perfection that we're hearing about and the perfection that we're striving to attain. It's only time. If you're walking in the right direction, if you know where you're going, if you know your destination, and you're walking towards it, then you reach it. It's only the time factor. If you walk fast, the time is less. You walk slow, the time is more. We know the destination. We know where we want to go. We know what we have to do to get there. And then we act. And then the rest is time factor. Right? So this is... And that's Krishna. Krishna is time. So Krishna can make a long time become short. He can make a short time become long. The 8 hours of the night became one night of Brahma for the gopis. Our life can expand or contract. Our advancement can become so slow it takes hundreds of lifetimes, or our advancement can take 1 week. Krishna is a time factor. So everything is happening in time. So now it's time to stop. Question is asked. The Prabhupada replied, you may see the spiritual master looking sad externally, but you should know that he's relishing transcendental bliss inside. So this is the inner life of the realized soul. It's a very private domain where he exists in his siddhadeya, and he's doing his eternal service to the Lord and the Prem Dham and Anandam, the blissful realm of eternity, where he's moving with the leelas of the Lord and rendering his designated service. So this is all a blissful experience of one rasa after another, one wave of bhava after another. There's no question of unhappiness or sorrow or sadness on that level. But externally, the guru may be relating to the situation of the world and reflecting some of the conditions or situations of the world around him. When Prabhupada was riding the car sometimes, as I mentioned before, he would look out the window of the car when he's riding, and he would whisper something very quietly while he's looking out the window. He's riding down the streets of various cities, and he would see the people, some drunken people on the sidewalk, people throwing up, or all kinds of amazing scenes out the window of these big cities in the West. And Prabhupada was saying, and then once the servant asked him what he was saying, he would often say this, Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam, kalo anasteva, 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 gatir anyata. That these people, and Prabhupada was looking very sad and very compassionate out the window. These people outside in the material world are suffering so much from drunkenness, from forgetfulness, from drug addiction, and so many miseries and anxieties and unfulfilled dreams and shattered lives and broken hearts. There's so much unhappiness out the window, so much struggle, so much suffering. So I feel sorry for them. And the only solution to solve all their problems is Harinam, Harinam. There's nothing else but Harinam that can save them. I must give them Harinam. I must spread the Harinam Sankirtan. So this way Prabhupada would be looking sad, feeling for the sadness of the people. So there's like a dual experience. His internal experience is Kevalananda Kanda in the service of the Lord. But externally he's feeling, because this is the sign of an intelligent person. An intelligent, cultured person, he has three attributes. One is that he sees all others' property as simply garbage in the street. And the other is that Matrivat Paradwarishu. He sees every other woman as his mother. Matrivat Varadarishu sees every other woman as his mother except his wife. And the third attribute of a cultured, intelligent person, he feels the suffering of others to be his own suffering. If someone else is suffering, there's so much he's suffering. This is very bad. Can I help them? And they take on the suffering. You see in the life, Jesus Christ is probably the most prominent example of someone who identified with the suffering of others. And forgive them, Father, for they know not what they have done. They've crucified me, they've murdered me, they've hung me on the cross, but they're innocent. They're simply pawns of the emperor. They're simply puppets in the hands of Maya. They don't really know my identity. They don't really know what they're doing. Forgive them, they're children. So this is the toleration and identifying with the suffering of the others. So this is what I would think, that why Prabhupada was appearing somewhat sad outside. And that's his soberness and his sobriety. Because there's really not much to laugh about in the material world. We laugh in the material world practically as a nervous relief. We're so uptight and there's so much difficulty. It's basically miserable. Just moment to moment is miserable. And once in a while we just laugh just to let out a little steam and unwind a little misery. Unravel a little anxiety by laughing, nervously laughing. Oh, I'm suffering like anything. Oh, that's a nice joke. God, it's miserable. Disease, old age, and problems, money, this, that, divorce, anxiety, this, that. Stop the world. I want to get off. I mean, there was once a play off Broadway back in the 70s when I was a kid. It was called Stop, because the earth is turning around on its axis, so the world is actually moving. We don't feel like we're on a spaceship Earth, Buckminster Fuller's spaceship Earth. We don't feel like we're on a spaceship and it's turning around like we're on an airplane. We can feel it. It's only going 700 miles an hour. This Earth planet is spinning 25,000 miles an hour. Every one of us right now is sitting in an airplane, which is this spaceship Earth, which is surrounded by air, like an airplane is surrounded by air, but it goes 700 miles an hour. Fasten your seatbelts. There's some turbulence ahead. And we're sitting on this spaceship Earth, and we're traveling through space or through the air like an airplane, 25,000 miles an hour. And do you ever see a sign in the sky? The sign, bing, please, fasten your seatbelt. Oh, yeah. Bing, oh. So, you know, we're going 25,000 miles an hour. Do you ever feel rocking or anything? Sometimes an earthquake. Okay, that's nice. And you fasten your seatbelt, I suppose. Or chant Hare Krishna, I suppose. So this is the point that the world is moving. So this one drama was written, this off-Broadway drama, Stop the World. It's spinning, right? Stop the world, I want to get off. I really like that phrase. It really caught my brain. I always felt like that. Stop the world, I want to get off. It's like, I've had enough. The devotees say like this, when you come to Krishna consciousness, that was the ideal fulfillment of this concept. Stop the world, I want to get out. You know, I want to go back home, back to Godhead. I want to go anywhere but here. Back home, home comfort, the home region, the comfort region, the peaceful region. You know, you stay here, I'm going there. That's paramgati. We're going somewhere far beyond the limited scope of this material world and the coverings of the universe. The spiritual sky, celestial sky. We're going home, back to Godhead. That is our destiny, manifest destiny of all of us. Hare Krishna.